It's the Sleep Well, Stay Well podcast. Here we go. With Malia Jacobson as your host.
Hello, and welcome to the Sleep Well, Stay Well podcast. I'm your host, sleep and health journalist Malia Jacobson. On today's Ask Malia mini episode, I will be answering a question about daylight savings time. We have it coming up, and it is one of those things that disrupts sleep. Although we might look forward to getting that extra hour when we fall back, it's something that disrupts sleep in a lot of families, especially if you have young children. But it can actually be a good thing, and I will talk about that in a minute. This year, it's happening on November 1st, which is in a couple of weeks. We will fall back, set our clocks back 1 hour. And I do get a lot of reader questions, especially about prepping young children for the change or else helping them correct some issues that pop up post DST change after we've fallen back. So ideally, fallback day means you turn the clocks backward and you enjoy an extra hour of sleep. Unless you happen to have young children, because kids don't have any clue and don't care that a clock change happened. Kids' bodies are especially sensitive even to small amounts of lost sleep, so the clock change can throw off their routine for days, even weeks, and it usually happens at a time when we're just getting into the routine of the school year, preschool, daycare, school year, early morning wake-ups, and we've just gotten into the flow of things, and then daylight savings time happens. So when clocks shift back, parents often complain that kids start waking up too early, and that's really understandable because when the clocks move back, your child's body says that it's 7 a.m. when the actual clock says 6. That means your child is waking up an hour before you'd like, and that means that you are waking up as well. And that also means that at dinner time or after dinner, when you want to be enjoying some family time or getting things done, you have tired, cranky kids because they have been up an hour longer than they normally would have. So the good news is that this autumn fallback is a great opportunity to actually help reset the internal clock of a child who is sleeping too late in the morning, who's fighting bedtime at night. So if you're still struggling to make that back to school transition, help your child get up a little bit earlier in the morning, get moving. If your child is sleeping a little bit later in the morning with our later sunrises and not waking as early and having trouble getting going in the morning, fallback can be a great opportunity to actually reset your child's internal clock. So on clock change day and during the days that follow, your kid's body clock will actually be an hour ahead of the clock's time because you turned the clock back. So when your child's body thinks it's 9 a.m., the clock will actually read 8. So if you do absolutely nothing, your child will naturally shift to an earlier wake-up time and an earlier bedtime. So again, if you do absolutely nothing except change the clock, don't adjust anybody's sleep schedule. That's just something that will naturally happen. And it can also mean that in the weeks leading up to daylight savings time, you maybe don't have to be so concerned about getting to bed exactly on time. If you stay up a little bit later, let your child sleep in a little bit later, those shifts will naturally self-correct when you change the clock at daylight savings time. So that's just something to know as we head into that clock change, that you can just be a little bit more free and loose with bedtime if you want, because it will all get erased when that clock moves back. So that's kind of nice. But if you are happy with the time that your child is currently getting up in the morning and going to bed at night, if you've established a solid bedtime, wake up time, and you don't want to mess with it, and you'd like to keep your routine on track after the change, I can help with that. So the key to helping your child fall asleep and wake up at his normal time is keeping him up later at night. That is gradually moving his bedtime 1 hour later over the course of a few days. And why does this work? Well, so for this example, I'll use a 7 p.m. bedtime and a 7 p.m. wake up time, which would really only be appropriate if you have a very, very young child, but we'll just use that for this example. So after the clock change, you want a child who used to wake up at 7 to continue waking up at 7, which requires a shift to their bedtime and wake up time. And that is 1 hour later than normal. So you're shifting 8 p.m. to 8 p.m. so that when you wind the clock back, your child's 7 a.m. bedtime is still 7 a.m. 7 a.m. wake up time is still 7 a.m. So as you head toward November 1st in the next, so that gives you a couple of weeks, you can gradually start moving that bedtime later. So just 10 or 15 minutes every night. And honestly, it's so easy to do. Just spend a little extra time together in the evening, you know, take a walk together. I mean, that time flies by. It's at least for me, I find that trying to stick to an ironclad bedtime is much harder than kind of letting bedtime slip a little bit. That kind of happens on its own with very little effort. So it's pretty easy to just relax those bedtime rules just a little bit as we head into that November 1st date. And that way, when the clock winds back, your child will be back to their 7 a.m. Wake up, 7 p.m. bedtime, or 9 p.m. bedtime, 9 a.m. wake up, or 10 p.m. bedtime, 8 a.m. wake up, or whatever it is that you are wanting to do. And it's kind of nice when things work out that way. I just love fallback so much better than spring forward for that exact reason. And that's it. That's all you need to do, really, to make that adjustment. So again, it is a perennial sleep disruptor, especially for parents of young kids, because early wake-ups are so common with that age group. If your child is already waking up too early in the morning, again, you want to make sure that you're heading into daylight savings time, into that November 1st clock change, with a good bedtime routine in place. You don't want your child to be overtired or undertired, but you also don't want to allow your child to nap too much during the day. If your child is heading toward a nap transition or dropping a nap, it's a good idea to keep an eye on that, because any of those things, allowing your child to sleep too much during the day, allowing your child to fall asleep earlier than they really should at bedtime, will contribute to that early morning wake up. And for more reasons on that, you can go back and listen to my previous episode that I did a few weeks ago, helping a listener sort out her 1-year-old's, or I'm sorry, her 9-month-old's 4 a.m. wake up. So contrary to what a lot of people believe, allowing your child to go to bed too early is not going to help an early morning wake up. Most of the time, kids are not waking up because they are overtired. They are waking up because they are getting either too much sleep during the daytime or their bedtime just isn't appropriate. So if you are blessed with an early bird who wakes up at the crack of dawn and you don't want to see 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. wake up times after daylight savings time, make sure that your child is not napping too much during the day. Preserve their bedtime. You want them to be going to bed at a time when they're tired enough to fall asleep within 10 to 15 minutes. And if they are kicking around and delaying bedtime and stalling, then they may not be tired enough to fall asleep. You can experiment with their bedtime in the weeks leading up to daylight savings time. So when that change does happen, you are not working with a bedtime that's already too early that is going to contribute to an even earlier wake up time. I hope I didn't just vastly complicate this issue for you. Bottom line, if you're happy with the time that your child is waking up and going to bed, heading into daylight savings time, just keep doing what you're doing. Get a little loosey-goosey with bedtime, relax the rules a little bit. And when clocks move back on November 1st, they will just naturally self-correct any bedtime laxness that you have allowed to happen over the last couple of weeks. Perfection. If you have a child who is already waking up too early and you don't want that to continue, or you don't want it to get worse after daylight savings time, Make sure that your child is not napping too much during the day. So anything more than 2.5 to 3 hours is just too long. Generally for appropriate sleep at night, you don't want your child to be napping too close to bedtime within a couple of hours of bedtime, and you don't want your child going to bed at a time that is too early. So that would be a time at which they are stalling, delaying, taking more than 20 minutes or so to fall asleep. They are likely not tired enough to fall asleep, and their bedtime is too early. And of course, you also do not want your child to be overtired, and that is going to sleep far, far too late, which is a whole different issue and worthy of an entire episode on just that topic. So I hope that this is helpful for you. If you have any questions or if I have absolutely confused you and made this worse, I'm sorry, and you can let me know. In the meantime, I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your week, and I will see you next Thursday for another episode of Sleep Well, Stay Well. Thank you. Bye-bye. Hello, it's Malia again. I am building in a new segment I'm calling Pillow Talk, where I report a piece of news or information about sleep that is topical and relevant. And today I'm talking about vaccine effectiveness and sleep deprivation. This is not anything terribly new. This research has been around for a while, but it is topical because many of us are thinking about flu shots. My entire family got our flu shots a couple of weeks ago, and it's nobody's favorite day. Everyone complains a lot, but I'm always glad to have it checked off the list. So there are a number of studies that show that sleep deprivation impacts the way that your body responds to a vaccine, specifically your body's antibody response to a vaccine and the protectiveness of that vaccine. So this study was took place at the University of Pittsburgh and was published in the journal Sleep. Researchers found that people who slept fewer than 6 hours on average per night were far less likely to mount an antibody response to a vaccine, and thus were far more likely, 11.5 times to be exact, to be unprotected by that vaccine than people who slept more than 7 hours on average. That study is an older one. It was published in 2012. Since then, there have been a number of other studies, largely in agreement with the results. And although these studies are usually on the smaller side, they do show that the body's immune response and antibody response is affected by our sleep and how sleep deprived we are. What does that mean for you? If you know that you'll be getting a flu shot in the next couple of weeks, it's not a bad idea to take care of yourself, maybe turn in a little bit early, take some time to rest on the weekends, and correct any really outstanding sleep deprivation that you might have. And of course, if you happen to have a free hour to run and get a flu shot, I think that you should do it, regardless of how well rested you are, because we're all busy and we can't always pick and choose when those windows open up in our schedule. But it is something to know and to think about if you happen to have an employer who hosts a free flu shot event, or if it's something that you do on the same day every year. Just try and make sure that you get a few extra hours leading into that day. It can't hurt, right? Thanks. That's been Pillow Talk. Bye-bye.
It's the Sleep Well, Stay Well podcast, now you know. Thanks for checking out the show.